In your Bible, 2 Chronicles, we're going to look at the Valley of Blessing. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And for the constraints of time, I won't give you all of this sermon. Maybe I'll give you some of it at a later date, I guess. People say, oh, just go ahead and preach it. Just give it all to us. You know, here's the deal, though. Here's the deal. We got 135 volunteers. I want them to volunteer next week. That's right. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 24. The background is three nations have allied themselves together to try to stamp out Israel. And when Judah and what happened, God himself came to the battle and wiped those three nations out. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitudes of these three armies, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. I like how it's put in another battle where it says that the angel of the Lord fought against them, and they all and killed them all, and they all woke up dead the next morning. I like that. They woke up dead the next morning. They were all the dead bodies that fallen to the earth and unescaped. And when Jehoshaphat, his people, came to take away the spoil, they found among them in abundance riches with dead bodies and precious jewels. They stripped off for themselves more than they could carry. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil because it was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka. That's not Barack Obama. That's a different valley there. This is the valley of Baraka. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka. The Valley of Blessing is what we're going to deal with today. Father, take the words that we will speak here this morning and penetrate them into the heart of every person here. I thank you, God, in advance for your anointing upon me to preach. And Lord, anoint these ones to hear and receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Why would God want this story in the Bible? I think the reason being is because it shows us a principle. It shows us a divine law. Much like the law of gravity, much like the law of harvest, much like the law of growth, it shows us something that we can refer to as, and this is a great verse and a great quote. We find this a few times in the scripture. This is the law. Here it is. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. I tell my wife, and I've told you as a congregation, there are some battles not worth fighting. There are some people, I mean, you get into it with a skunk, that's stupid. Some battles not worth fighting. And when I seen this, that in this scripture, he says these words, that the battle is the Lord. Jehoshaphat says in one scripture where he's praying unto God, God, you see this vast army. I don't know what to do. That's what he says. But my eyes are upon you. And he says, the battle is your battle, dear God. The battle is the Lord's. Well, let's list now. There are other victories that was won in valleys, and the exact same thing was uttered. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, there is the Valley of Elah, and David says exactly the same thing. The battle belongs not to me. The battle belongs to God. And I like that. There are times that I can get mad and I can get aggravated and I'm just going to take everybody to task. But there are times that I've got to realize, God, I'm just going to let you handle that. I'm going to let you handle that. I'll let you take care of that light work there. I don't want to mess with that. You take care of it. And in Judges chapter 7, there's the Valley of Midian, where Gideon says that the army that's against us is more than I can even number, and they're coming against us. And he says, the battle is the Lord's. These three occasions, the same thing is said, and again, it's a divine principle, it's a divine law, let God come to our aid and to our rescue. And I want to tell you what's going to happen. He'll do that in different ways than what we ourselves would do. The little boy that went to Sunday school class, he came home from after Sunday school and his dad said, son, what did you learn? And he goes, man, dad, it was incredible. That teacher was talking about Moses, an Israeli general that was leading all the army out, and they got to the Red Sea and they didn't know what to do. So Moses got the group together and the engineers said, we'll build a bridge all the way across it. And they started building a bridge all the way across the Red Sea. And as they're crossing the Red Sea, they get halfway across this huge bridge that's built across. And then here comes the enemies of Israel named Egypt that was hotly on their pursuit. And we've got Moses with one walkie-talkie and Joshua's with another walkie-talkie and are talking to each other. The enemy's closing in. What should we do? And Moses tells Joshua, take those hand grenades and lob over to that bridge when they get across it. And they got right over about the apex of it, and they lobbed them grenades and it blew up, and all of that army went to the depths of the sea. And that dad just kind of looking at his boy. That ain't what she said. Well, I know, dad, ain't what she said, but you'd never believe what she really said. So with the battle being the Lord's, there's going to come times when God is going to do battle different than you or me would do battle. We would never think of a slingshot in battle, but God does. We would never think of telling Gideon to have those that lamp and that pitcher and that horn and tell him to shout and to shine and I will do the rest. We would never think of that. You may be in the middle of a battle or a problem. Listen, when you're willing to let God take care of that, he's got a million ways that you never thought of. That you've never thought of. The Lord has 10 million ways. Not just a million. He got 10 million ways to be able to win the battle. God chooses the time. God chooses the place. God chooses the weapons. God chooses the strategery. As George W. Bush would say. And God can get the outcome. Before David ever defeated Goliath, when he brought the cheese and the loaves of bread to his brothers, before that ever happened, he had to do war. That's what the natural thing would do. Let's do war against Eliab, the brother. Because he's speaking out against us, let's speak out against him too. Eliab, the oldest brother, said, David, what is in your heart that you should leave the few sheep that you're over and come here down to this battle? Battle? What battle? There ain't no battle going on. Goliath's screaming at them and they're all shaking in their boots. Ain't no battle going on. And he's picking at David. You know why? He ain't got enough guts to pick at Goliath. That's why. And I told this to a few of the staff members just a few days ago. The course of history would have been changed if David's idea would have been, well, you know, I am the younger brother, and if I would go out to battle and win the battle, it might make Eliab feel a little uncomfortable. He is the older brother. It might make him feel uncomfortable. David didn't think that. David went right ahead and went out and faced Goliath, and Eliab wasn't in the background going, yay, David, kill Goliath. Eliab wasn't in the background saying, yay, David, build that church. Eliab wasn't in the background saying, yay, David, I hope Centralia Branch really goes good. At best, many of the brethren say nothing. At worst, they criticize. See, there are giant problems in this life, and there are small problems in this life. How you handle the small problems will determine how you handle the bigger problems in your life. Oh, no, preacher, I'll get the confidence when I face Goliath. No, you won't. If you hadn't faced a lion and a bear, you ain't ready to face Goliath. When you face the smaller problems and then it gets to a little bit bigger problem and a little bit bigger problem, and you rest on this knowing that the battle is the Lord's and God has a million ways, 10 million ways to be able to get the job done. This is what I've heard in criticism. Orchardville, they're just about the numbers. I say this to pastors that will be listening to this CD. If you're content with 50 people, when you could have 150, you're backslidden. Jesus left the 99. Why? To go get another one is why he did it. Well, I just like our little church. You backslider, you. It's just like a little family. And we look at somebody when they come in like, I don't know if they're going to fit in here or not. That's a Pharisee. Don't shout me down. I've had one pastor in this area. When I talk about this area, I mean five counties. One pastor that's asked me about, how's it going at the Centralia branch? One pastor that showed any type of interest whatsoever. And if you think that I'm going to stop what God's laid on my heart because it might make some preacher feel like that he just left out in the cold, you got another thing coming. David's zeal for God was not quenched because Eliab had no zeal. David's courage for God was not put out because Eliab, his brother, had no courage. I love David. I get a lot of strength from that guy. All right, I got to hurry on. Boy, I'm out of time already. David, Gideon, Jehoshaphat, all three of them, the battle is the Lord's. That's what they knew. That's what they knew going in. The battle is the Lord's. David said, you're going to let this uncircumcised Philistine. You know, people talk about trash talking. The original trash talking happened 3,000 years ago. With Goliath saying, you're just a punk kid. And David said, I'm going to feed your fat to the air, big boy. That's the original trash talking. And then David didn't stop with that. David kind of trash talks God. God, you going to let this guy say these things about you? And the first guided missile was right then and there because he let that thing go and hit Goliath, and down Goliath went. And that wasn't the end of it because David went and picked up his sword and cut his head off. He might deal with other giants in his life. He'll never deal with that one again. That's right. I got to say, I'm going to back up one thing on Jehoshaphat, and then I'll just go on. Jehoshaphat, what he did, and we get, you know, great jump of Jehoshaphat comes right from that guy. We get from this man, I don't know what to do, and God gives him the answer. Send out the army, but wait. Send the musicians and singers in first. I love that. Send the musicians and singers in first. Yeah, everybody's armed to the teeth. And God said, send John Meyer with his drumsticks. Send him in there first. And all the time they're thinking, man, God's going to have to come through for us. And God did just that. Well, preacher, I'm not David, and I'm not Gideon, and I'm not Jehoshaphat. All I am is a mom. Well, let me tell you what one mom did. One mom raised 17 kids, and in that raising of each week, of a special hour of each night, she would take each one of them kids and tell them about the Bible and about Christian character. And on Thursday night at about 7 o'clock is when she spent time with one boy by the name of Johnny. And she instilled within him the things of God. And little Johnny grew up to be John Wesley. That's what one mom did. Well, preacher, all I am is a layman. Let me tell you what one layman did. In London, England, 150 years ago, the blizzard had set in. There's no way to get to church. A handful of people there. The pastor hadn't made it. And the layman's thinking, well, here it is. It's almost time. It's time to start church. I'm going to have to preach. What can I do? And he preaches on look and live. And little did he know that a little boy by the name of Charlie, 15 years old, ran in to get out of the blizzard and is sitting there at the back. And God spears that man's heart with that message. And little Charlie get born again. And God used little Charlie unlike he's used anybody on the planet. That man grew up to be Charles Spurgeon. Well, preacher, all I am is a Sunday school teacher. Let me tell you what one Sunday school teacher did. He had a kid lay out by the name of Dwight that wasn't showing up at his class. So he went where Dwight worked at a shoe store. And he walked outside of that shoe store back and forth saying, oh God, give me the courage to go in and talk to Dwight. And finally he went and he talked to Dwight. And Dwight was born again. And Dwight was none other than D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody eventually would go across the sea and preach and encourage a man by the name of F.B. Meyer, who was a preacher who was ready to give up. And God sent Moody into that man's life. And F.B. Meyer would preach, and a guy by the name of Wilbur Chapman would be born again. And God would use Chapman in a fantastic way. And in that, with his dynamic preaching, he would reach a dynamic person by the name of Billy Sunday. White Sox baseball player, and Sunday would begin to preach, and Sunday would preach, and years later, a guy by the name of Mordecai Ham would come to Jesus. And Mordecai Ham eventually would be called to preach and would go to the hills of North Carolina and would preach the gospel there, and a young man by the name of Billy Graham would be converted. And I am not telling you, Sunday school teacher, that you might have a D.L. Moody in your class, but I'm not telling you that you don't. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And the valley of blessing, and thank God, testimonies are made and shaped and formed in this valley of blessing, which is a valley of victory. Thank God for every one of your testimony. Yeah, but preacher, I don't have a great testimony. If you've been born again by the blood of Jesus, you have a wonderful testimony. A wonderful testimony. Too many people want a testimony without a test. It don't work that way. It don't work that way. The valley of blessing is a valley of victory. And thank God for the testimonies that's impacted my life, for the people that's impacted my life. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Bow your heads, please. Father, we thank you and we praise you, dear God, for the impact that people have made in my life. Lord, I never want to take that lightly. God, you've taken their life, and they've taken the Word of God coupled with their life, and they've penetrated my heart and my life, and I thank God for that. God, I'll never sell that short. I thank God for people's testimonies. Lord, I ask and pray, dear God, if there's one here this morning, perhaps without a testimony, they've never said yes to Jesus. I ask and pray, God, that you would put a hook in their heart and draw them to your side. Speak to them this day. Let them know and realize that they are important to you. You suffered, bled, and died, and rose again so that person could have amazing grace gifted into their life. God, I pray for every one of these young people. Lord, you worked on David as a youth. God, work on these young people in their youth. God, I pray for those, God, that would be here, and perhaps even like an Asaph, to where they've slipped, they've almost slipped. God, you've been there with your grace to pick them up. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I pray, Lord Jesus, make this real. Make this real in people's hearts today. In Jesus' name we're praying. Let's all stand. Come on, as they sing, Spirit of God dealing with you, come on right now. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Who will be the first today to come forward? Come on. Come on, as the Spirit of God deals. Of
Till you're better.
tell you the power of a testimony. A man that when I was converted, he was an older man. Preachers would preach and they'd be quoting the scripture and getting messed up in the scripture. Didn't matter what scripture it was. And he'd be out there in the crowd and he'd be quoting that scripture. He was just amazing. Roy Shields. And that guy had such an impact on me that when he passed away, I mean, and he had questions. His wife was in a nursing home for a long time, and I'd visit him and he'd talk to me about that. He just didn't quite understand that. But man, he had an amazing faith in God. He really did. And I won't go into all the details about this guy. Some of them really funny that happened with me and him, but when he passed away, I felt it was necessary for me to take a vacation day from where I worked and go to his funeral. Because I just couldn't get away. But the life that that man lived and the testimony that he left behind, this is why the Bible talks about, and though they're dead, they're still speaking. His testimony still speaks to me. The life he lived still speaks to me. And how one life can make a difference. Thank God for that. Thank God for that.
It is our prayer that you have been blessed as you've listened to this message. If you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please contact us here at Orchardville Church. You can visit our website at orchardvillechurch.com, or you can contact us by phone at area code 618-835-2677. I saw Jesus.